Jesus, we are grateful that you have given us Jesus. We're grateful for the Word, and we're grateful for the Holy Spirit. You've given us the ultimate teacher, so Holy Spirit, I'm relying on you to help me get your Word out to them. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'm parked on Matthew 25. I'm talking the whole thing. Kind of recently, Nancy was parked on Ephesians, so I'm on Matthew 25. And I noticed that there's three parables in Matthew 25. There's the 10 virgins, and then there's the talents, and then there's the sheep and the goats. So, I'm going to start out reading the 10 virgins. These are some interesting virgins. And five of them, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So the bridegroom represents Jesus, right? And then the virgins represent the body of Christ. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. So half and half, maybe. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. You know, it's interesting. It's like they brought the lamps. The lamps kind of represent the Bible. You know, it's a container. Oh, the Bible has the light in it. Okay, but they had no oil. It said they took no oil with them. To me, the oil represents the Holy Spirit, which every day we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every day we need a fresh anointing from God in order to stand in the wiles of the devil. Things come at us every day that are unseen, that you don't see coming. Unfortunately, the evil one is planning and plotting and coming to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10, but we have the oil of God. We have the Holy Spirit to reveal all things. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. It's interesting, it didn't say just the foolish ones were slumbering and sleeping. The wise ones were also slumbering and sleeping. And at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Hear ye, go ye out to meet him. Then all of them, the foolish and the wise, virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Isn't that interesting that the foolish ones are trimming their lamps, even though they don't have any oil? These lamps, these lantern kind of things, they have these long pieces of cloth, and you put oil in it, and you light it, and you gotta trim it, right? My grandma has one. Brandon likes those, he thinks those are cool. But anyway, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. This kind of speaks to me of going through the motions. You know, oh, I showed up to church, or oh, I did this, or I'm reading the Bible, but you're not opening your heart to understanding. Wisdom, get understanding. And you may ask, well, how do you get understanding? You allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you in the Word of God. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So they're going through the motions, even though there's no oil. That's kind of foolish. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamp are gone. And it's also presumptuous. You don't think that when they were trimming those lamps, they were already assuming, they knew they didn't have any oil. They were assuming or presumptuous that the wise virgins were going to give them oil. Right? And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for your lamps are gone out. Then the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. It's interesting to me. It says that while they were asleep, but not so late, but for us, go buy some. So this is speaking of you can't listen to men. You have the Holy Spirit. You don't need a man to teach you. I mean, I'm not talking about don't go to church and don't listen to ministers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about listen for the Holy Spirit inside that minister. The Lord wants to minister directly to you. You don't need to, you know, there's a guy. Do you remember this guy? His name was Jim Jones. Was this in the early 80s or the 70s?
Early 80s.
Anyway, this is a perfect example of following a man. He led all these people into a place called Guyana, and they all believed that he was the ultimate dude. Did he say he was God or something? I don't remember. But anyway, the point being, he led a lot of people astray. And I'm sure that these people were genuinely interested in knowing God, and they really believed that this guy was who he said he was. Had they inclined their ear, had they opened their hearts, had they done a Proverbs 2:2, incline your ear for understanding, seek the Lord with all your heart, they may have discerned that this is not of God. So there's no really no excuse. God has commissioned us, equipped us, given us the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can't get any better than that, than the Holy Spirit. He's the ultimate teacher. He's the greatest teacher in the universe. Okay, so, but the wise ants are saying, go buy your own. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who calleth his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. God has called us to watch, to pray and listen, and you can't do this apart from the Holy Spirit. You need a fresh anointing. You need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, and he's giving us the word to reveal Jesus. All right, where was I? And unto one he gave, now we're going to move on to the talents. Unless someone, of course, has something to say about the five virgins, the ten virgins, the five foolish and the five wise.
Personally, I think that's referring to the rapture. Oh. We were getting ready, going by studying and praying, getting ready, and when the Lord comes, we're going to come away. But some people are born again, mm-hmm. and they don't study, they don't go to church, so they have the all. But we are continually, from the Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, continually causing us to all growing.
Yes.
So if he comes right now, we're gone.
And so those that are shut out, the door shut to them, they won't go in the rapture?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
See, no, I'm not talking about people that all of the born again will go.
Okay.
Let's see. We had somebody tell us this just last week, this guy's been pastoring a church for 5, 10, 12, 15 years.
Yeah.
Was saved.
That's exactly right. That they go through the motions, they're going through the steps. Some are even pastoring, and they're not saved. They have been recreated. And you know, I feel bad for those people because they have to rely on their own knowledge. Can you imagine what a struggle?
I was thinking about that today.
What a horrible.
What if I didn't have this?
What about?
I was trying to do it all by myself.
Out of your own strength. It's heaven.
There would be no hope.
That's right. Well, has got a talent or several that God has invested. And that word I'm using, I want to really highlight that word. He's invested that into us because he expects a return because he multiplies and he knows we're in him. So there's no reason for his children to not be multiplied and increasing. And of course, to me, this is referring to souls. It's the purpose of talents is to bring people into the kingdom and to glorify him. Praise God. Those are our things we're called to do. Okay, so let's get back to the guy with the five, or the guy that hid it. So he in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoned with them. So we came to hold them accountable. You know, we're all going to be held accountable, right? To everything. Glory be to God. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. So he's obeyed. This is an obedient servant. He has increased. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. When we obey God, there is a joy attached at the end of that. And the beginning and the dirt road. Sometimes at the beginning we can't perceive it. Sometimes. But I tell you what, God is bringing us to the point. Let me stop that. God is bringing us to the point where we are. He's working with us every day, instructing us, edifying us, teaching us, correcting us, showing us what we need to be doing so that we can enter into his rest. He desires for us to enter into his rest. This is the will of God, which, by the way, the message of the name of the message is take inventory of God's will. God wants us to take inventory regularly of his will so that we're not deceived and we're not thrown off course. Because there is a course, there is a race, and we want to finish faithful and strong. It's his will. All right. So his Lord said unto him, enter into the joy of the Lord. Everybody here has experienced the joy of the Lord, right? There's nothing like it. What a reward. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So here it is again. And then we're on to the guy with 1 talent. Then, please don't do that. I'm so distracted. He's waving a fly up animal. Ooh. Here, there's other toys in there, I think. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man. This is another, Pastor John, this is another thing that goes with what cuts off the blessing of the Lord. Then he that which received the 1 talent came and said to the Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. So he's judging the master. He's judging the master with his limited understanding. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where thou has not strawed. And I was afraid. You know, when you're afraid, you're going to start judging people, and you're going to start getting into criticism and all that kind of stuff. That will cut off the blessing so fast, especially of ministers. If you criticize ministers, or men and women of God, or other Christians or believers, they have an anointing of protection on them. God help us. I was afraid, he said. Here pretty much is the picture of why he's not multiplying, why he's not increasing. I was afraid of thy talent in the earth. So when you hide something, it's not going to be multiplied. When you're hiding something, when you're hiding your talent, you're saying, I don't really believe that you've given me anything worth doing anything with. You're a bad master. You have, and he went on to say, you have sown, you have reaped where you have not sown, and gather where you have not strawed. So, which is interesting to me, this whole passage about you have reaped where you have not sowed. And we all know in Galatians it says, whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. But he's telling God, does God have to sow to reap? I mean, he sowed Jesus, he reaped a family. But he wasn't told to look at that or think about that. Do you guys have any idea about this particular passage? Why he's saying that to the master?
He's wrong.
Yeah.
He's wrong. The master has some. How did he get to be master? By sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. But this man, in his arrogance, is saying, you don't sow.
Yeah, because he doesn't know everything. And pride,
go ahead,
Pastor.
Listen to me. But see, that's not true. He did gain that guy $2,000. He was sold at $5,000. He gave $2,000. He was sold at $2,000.
So the lesson here is fear keeps you ignorant.
And not productive. It is unproductive.
Yes, sir.
And God does this.
Yeah.
May I point out
something? Please.
The one lad at five got the master told him the same thing to the one who got two.
That's good.
So many people say, well, I only got two. I can't do much. But yet he got this, we sold the two and multiplied the two. He got the same praise and got the same reward.
That's good.
Exact reward.
That's good.
I'll put you over many things.
Exactly.
So use what you have, right?
That's exactly the illustration that the Lord was talking about when he's talking about the Lord for one. He said, notice that I gave him the least amount, which you would think
all he had to do
is multiply more. Exactly. But I tell you what, that's how debilitating and dangerous fear is. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love is Jesus.
I think the master knew it. He probably gave him five birds.
He can't give him one.
He says according to their ability.
Yeah, so he didn't have much ability. And God knew it. And this is the thing, like you're saying, oh, you only gave me, I know people like this. I know people like this. Well, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to give. I don't have anything to sow. I haven't been given anything. I don't have anything. That's a lie. That is a lie.
I've heard a lot of people say that you know, they don't believe that they have any significant, obvious skill or obvious talent.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, I just don't have anything special.
Right.
I do say that.
You know why?
Because it's everyone.
Because it's a lie. Don't say that because it's not true.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, and the more you believe that you lack and that you don't have, what's going to happen?
The more you're going to lack.
The more that's going to become your reality, because that's what you believe. And it's, the Bible says, be done according to your faith. If your faith is, I don't have anything to offer to anybody, I mean, how terrible is that? God's given us really everything. He not only has given us talents, he has talents that we can tap into. He has the ability to do everything.
Yeah.
So let's not lie and say and hide our talent in the ground. You see, because, oh, thank you, Jesus. You can try to hide something, but the truth will always be. And the truth is God is giving you all things that pertain to life and godliness.
It doesn't change anything.
It doesn't change anything. You can dig it up 200 feet in the ground, but the truth is it's still there. And God's given something to you that's valuable. You're not a nothing. You're not a discard. You're not a worthless. And I notice people that say that usually say, I'm just a boo-boo. They have a they confess and they see themselves as a grasshopper. You know. All right, moving right along. So this is one of the other things that will cut off God's blessing. Your perception, fear. I was afraid. I didn't want to obey what God has asked me to obey and do. God's asked me to do something. And you're over here, so, and then the guy's trying to justify himself. Well, you're an evil master. You know, you're a hard master. He's judging him unfair. He doesn't even have any place for judgment. So that's one of the things. You'll try to justify yourself when you're walking in fear and disobedience.
It's the master's fault.
Like Adam, it's the woman you gave me. It's your fault that I disobeyed you.
Your fault that I disobeyed you with my free will.
you gave me all things, you know, the whole garden. Oh, we're such funny creatures. But thank you, Holy Spirit, for correcting us. And thank you for cleansing us of all unrighteousness. You're just and faithful, aren't you? For unto everyone hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. This is a key scripture here, Matthew 25:29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given. So recognize that you have, because when you do that, you begin to do, and when you begin to do, you begin to multiply, because that's how the kingdom of God operates. And it shall be given. This is, we're talking, you know, earlier when I came in, we're talking about how to increase, how to prosper. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and cast ye the unprofitable servant unto outer darkness. See, there's going to be no excuses. You know, what a scary time to not be saved or accept the Lord and stand before God and say, well, this is the way I was raised, or well, you know, this is, I just didn't understand what the pastor was saying to me, or all those excuses. I don't think they're going to hold any water when we stand before the judge. And he goes on to talk about there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the glory angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. So make no mistake, right now we're traveling through this world where you will sit next to a goat, and you'll sit next to sheep, and sometimes we don't want to sit next to goats because they butt heads, and they're nasty, and their eyes look weird. but be of great cheer, for God's overcome the world, and there's going to come a day where he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. You're going to be split, and all of the sheep are going to enter into the fold of God in heaven with him forever, and the goats are going to go away. But for now, while we're here, our job is to talk to the goats and sow seeds of love so that God can work with that to bring them into a knowledge of the Lord so that they get born again. I'll be the first to confess, I used to be a goat. Right? And praise God, I heard the gospel of Jesus, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and I got born again. So we don't have to stay goats, you know. We can enter into the fold of Christ, the Good Shepherd, and enter into the joy of the knowledge of who he is, our Master, our Deliverer, our Savior, our Rescuer, our everything. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. I just can't praise the Holy Spirit.
You took the one talent and now you multiply it.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Glory.
The one talent is when God offers you salvation.
Yes.
You receive it and multiply.
And you know why it multiplies? Because it's alive. Because the seed of God is alive. Just an increase. And we're the ones that cut it off through the deception of the evil one, which is fear. Okay, so moving right along to the sheep and the goats.
You went from a goat to a sheep, so you had to be born again.
Yes, sir. So let's not get too put off with goats, because...
You came from...
You can't get too put off with goats.
We used to be goats.
We used to all be goats.
Yes.
Right.
And so praise be unto the Lord Jesus for paying the price so we don't have to remain goats. And you know... And you know, sometimes you walk into church and some sheep look like goats. You say, you're a sheep now, hello, you're no longer.
Wake up.
That's right. You've been converted.
Someone say, oh, go back to being a goat.
Yeah.
No, sir, you're gone.
That's right. And sometimes you almost forget, you know, how horrible life is without the Lord. It was hell on earth to live without God. It is so confusing. It is so miserable. What a torment it is. So to be a born-again Christian and be under torment is completely unacceptable. You don't have to have it. You don't have to live confused. You don't have to live all over the place. You've been delivered. I'm here to declare we're all delivered because of the work of Jesus Christ and the wonderful covenant he's got with the Father. For all to know the truth and be delivered. Okay, then shall the king say unto them, on his right hand come ye, be blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God's had this plan all along. He's had this plan forever, since before he even made this planet, that he's going to bless you and he's going to give you the kingdom and you're going to inherit all the goodness of that he has for us. Hallelujah, I give you praise. I give you all the praise for creating all this for us and loving us the way you do. For I was a hunger and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we that you were hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And they're repeating everything. He said, when did we visit you? When were you naked? Or when saw were you sick and in prison and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he also unto them on the left, he's talking to the disobedient goats, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And this goes back to the servant with the talents. You know, the servant with the talents is given the talents for the increase of the kingdom of God. And how does the kingdom of God increase? Souls. This is what increases the kingdom of God. And so this is how we increase the kingdom of God. We give people meat. We give people the word of God. We give people love. We help where we can. You know, there was many times in my life where I didn't have a place to stay, and my friends let me stay with them. There were times where I didn't have anything to eat, and so a Christian brought me food. So I'm not saying that to say how great you guys are. I'm making this as an example of doing the word of God. Because as you sow, the kingdom of God increases. There are rewards for us in heaven when we give people meat, when we clothe the naked, when we feed the hungry. God will lead us. The Holy Spirit will lead us. When and where? Who and why? But he will lead us. He's the leader. He's the head of the church. And so these people, and this also reminds me of when the Apostle Paul actually... Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus on his way to kill Christians, really. And Jesus appeared to him, knocked him off his horse. And Saul of Tarsus says, Who are you, Lord? And Jesus says, It is I, Jesus, who you persecute. Now, Saul of Tarsus was not going to persecute Jesus in his mind. He was going to persecute and destroy Christians. The body of Christ is one with Christ. And Jesus sees it that way. And so whenever we do unto the least of these, we are literally doing it as unto the Lord. And when we go to work, we are the light there. And the witness that we have been given in the workplace, in the marketplace, and in our homes with our families, it's a glorious thing. But let's not forget that even to the least of these, sometimes you think, oh, I'm about to do some damage. Unto the least of these. The old person that sometimes you lose patience with, because my dad has had several strokes, it's hard to understand him. And my mom loses patience, or I, you know, he's saying, I don't understand what he's saying, but we're all here on this planet. There's a wicked one trying to steal, and sometimes you're the least of these. I hope we don't end up in those positions. I've been in those, and it's not fun, but it's so wonderful when the Lord moves on people, and it's even more wonderful when he moves on you to do unto the least of these. We're called to walk in humility, and that's how the Lord uses us, is when we're humble, and he works through us. And he wants to work through us all the time, but we're the ones that stop him, and we don't see people as the least of these, or don't see people as being Christ himself. All right, for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. You visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let's not also get caught up in works, thinking, well, I'm feeding the homeless, and I'm clothing the poor, so now I've been a very good person. I need to enter into the kingdom of God. The scripture is warning, please don't get caught up in works. I know faith with works is dead, but if you're not in faith in Jesus operating through you and leading you, and you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're in works. And I'm sure, you know, I heard a testimony of a woman that went, the Lord took her to hell, and she saw preachers with Bibles like this on fire, preaching doctrines that were wrong. They, like you're saying, they weren't saved. They weren't born again. And I'm sure as a lot of these Christians, or so-called Christians, really in reality, were feeding the hungry and clothing the poor and visiting those in prison and all these other outreaches that we're called to do. But apart from God, we can't do a single thing. And there's a whole bunch of other scriptures I left out, like Luke 1. Let's just go to Luke 1. Luke 1. Up over here. Okay. And okay, Luke 1, 2. Even as they delivered, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee an order most excellent. And I'm not sure what Ophelus means. I did not look that up.
Theophilus is the first name.
Okay. There you go. Okay, so it seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding. Having had perfect understanding. We get understanding from Proverbs 2:2, you incline your ear, and God will prepare you, and He will equip you. Well, let's also continue to take inventory of God's will, and let's be ready and prepared. The last thing the Lord wants me to share with you guys is He's given everybody a walk-in closet. He's given us garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He's given us Ephesians, the armor of God, in order to defeat the devil. I like what you said on Sunday, Pastor John, that the armor of God has never failed. And all of these robes and garments and armors are to carry out our ministry and to stand firm in what God's given us, the talents given us. So that's it.
I'd like to share something that please. Elizabeth told me years ago on the talents. The one that buried his said, I was afraid, and went and hid your talent. And the master said, you wicked and lazy servant. And she shared with me the revelation that when you're afraid, God sees you as wicked. And when you bury your talent, or you bury your gift of God, He sees you as lazy. I will not forget that you shared that with me. I wrote it down in my Bible. So of course we're reading this so that we won't be that person that receives something from God and either counts it as unimportant or buries it or hides it. They're afraid, they're lazy, ignore it. I heard someone preaching and they said every time God gives you a vision or God exposes the gift He gave you, there's going to be some requirements. And he said, vision creates need. In other words, you're going to have to go to God to be able to complete that vision. You can't just say, okay, I've got the vision from God. All right. No, step two is to complete the vision, I need more. I need help from God. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to be by being afraid or burying the things.
So good.
It is
so good.
Yes. The vision is the blueprint.
The blueprint to carry it out.
The vision for wherever is a blueprint God designed for foundation. So if you have a blueprint, you're going to have a land to build it on. Mm-hmm. A
Elizabeth about there's going to be a requirement. Another word for that is responsibility. A responsibility to what God's shown you. He showed it to you, and you can't hide it. You can't pretend he didn't give it to you.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
You didn't say that.
I knew you're the mean God.
Yeah. And all he's trying to do is increase us. Yeah. Love us. Bring us up. Prosper us.
And we have it yours. Was it? I don't have time. That he knows with that laziness.
Yeah.
It's red, yeah. That's too much trouble to
take.
I got other things to do. My wagon is full, my schedule is full.
And usually those people, you catch them sitting in front of the TV. You know, watching CSI.
Because they're full watching television, huh?
Well, that's great.
Yes.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the revelations you gave Elizabeth to share with us. So we receive those now. As from you, thank you that we are sheep, we have been born again,
yes.
And that we have the opportunity to work with you, not even knowing we're serving you. But you reveal to us we are serving you when we serve others.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, that you've given us gifts and talents and abilities,
yes.
And responsibilities. And we receive those, and we are successful in following you and working with you,
yes.
In those things. And Lord, thank you that we do have the oil of the Holy Spirit to light the way,
yes.
That we might walk in your ways and think your thoughts. We praise you and thank you. We ask you bless us this week, comfort us, strengthen us, guide us, direct us in all ways. In Jesus' name.